she's real fine, my 409.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing on 105.3 The Fan.
Well, I saved my pennies and I saved my
dimes. All right, welcome. Wally Lynn in for Sybil Summers today, alongside the great David Blassingame and Tammy Pickard. Don't shake your head. Waddle running the board.
What's up?
How you
Good
doing,
morning.
Waddle?
I'm doing well, thank you.
We had a great talk show for the last 10 minutes before we went on.
I was just spouting. I was spouting.
It was fantastic.
It was pulling of hair. There was screaming. There was shouting.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome. The phone number, 877-881-1053. Fan text 43733.
Numbers at Autoflex, 817 or 972-234-1234. And after the disclaimer runs on the beginning of the show, I'd like everyone to know that all of the opinions on the show, are mine.
Okay.
So it doesn't really matter if anybody else agrees with them. They're my opinions.
That's the way to do business.
It is.
That's perfect. All sorts of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about top resale cars for 2012. It's been a year since the earthquake and the tsunami.
In Japan?
Yeah, that one.
Well, they've had, there have been more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are gas prices doing? Where are they going? How much are they going to go up this week? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. Obama wants to raise tax credits for alternative fuel vehicles.
Right.
All sorts of stuff. And this is one that I can't wait to get to. We'll get to at the end of the show. Is a judge bans a teen driver from driving ever again.
For life. We'll talk about it later.
Absolutely crazy. So that's some of the stuff we got to talk about today. Ford is also launching a reality show that we'll talk about. As Ford, you know, moves into that realm a little bit of social media.
An interactive reality show where the participants online can affect the outcome of the show.
Yeah, okay.
That's crazy.
All sorts of stuff to talk about. Again, the phone number, 877-881-1053, Fantex 43733. Any questions that you have about buying or leasing a car, these are the experts that you want to talk to. They can tell you about resale value, the kinds of things that you need to do and think about when trying to make that decision of buying versus leasing. So we'll get into all of that. All you got to do is fan text us, and we'll take care of you there or call us at 877-881-1053. All right, let's start with this. Rudyard Kipling used to be this incredible author, and now he's evaluating top resale cars.
Wally on the bean as usual. Actually, Kiplinger's has released their...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Kiplinger's newsletter...
Wrong guy.
Actually, magazine, has released their top 12 best resale cars, and it's a really interesting list because these are really great resale cars. So they are right on the money on these cars. If these cars aren't the best resale cars in their class, they're certainly one of the top two. And beginning with, under $20,000, the Ford Focus SE hatchback. And it is nothing but good. It gets great gas mileage. The car performs well. It's great looking. The interior is nice in the car. And they are predicting a resale value in 36 months of 63%. Now, when I saw that, I thought, wow, because that's really high. I mean, normally what we look for is 50% at 36 months, uh-huh. And that's considered good.
Right.
Right? So then I sort of looked it up. And when you go to the official books that predict resale, and of course, all of this is crystal ball stuff, you know, because nobody really knows. But if you go to the official books, it says 49% on that car at 36 months. So, but in any case, that's darn good, you know.
And what was the number you gave last week about Ford sales? 11 million?
No. That was last year's sales total.
Last year's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 years, 45%. They give a city of 26 miles per gallon and a highway rating of 36 miles per gallon EPA rating, and that's on the new EPA rating, so that's fairly accurate. Next car on the list, cars between 20 and 25,000, the Mini Cooper Countryman. It is a great car. It has got tremendous resale value. Now, part of the reason is it packs in a whole lot of really cool goodies in a very, very inexpensive car. There's a lot of features on that little Mini Cooper that you've got to pay a lot more for. Generally, when you get a car, you got to buy a lot more car to get them.
But that's a popular car.
It is,
you know.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun to drive. It has all the maintenance.
You guys
covered.
Have any?
Yeah, got a couple of them.
Actually, I saw one of the country or a clubman.
Yeah.
Was it a Countryman or a Clubman when I was leaving last night? Somebody's clearly leasing one either today or they were getting it last night. The resale value won't be quite that high, but it is at its highest when gas is at its highest.
Yeah.
Because they get such great fuel economy.
So, again, $20,000 to $25,000 car, the Mini Cooper Countryman, they say 69%. The reality is probably close to 57%. But now, let me tell you, at 36 months, a 57% resale value, that's through the roof. I mean, that's just really great.
Mm-hmm.
And 27 miles on the highway, 27 miles in the city, 35 on the highway. The next bracket up, they give the Mini Cooper Coupe S, which is another Mini Cooper, tremendously high resale value.
High sale
great mileage on the car.
What kind of power do those cars have?
They drive like a little rocket.
Mm-hmm. Do they?
Yes.
It's not a
they
Corvette,
are fun
but
to
they're
drive.
Zippy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a little four-cylinder car.
The Grand Prix driver, the open-wheel driver that we had on here,
yeah.
His personal car is a Mini.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because it's so much fun to drive, and it's too small to have your friends ask you to help them move in it.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
You put that Cooper, the Cooper brakes package and all that on there, it's
a little rocket.
They're fun.
Next car, and this one...
Not good on bumpy roads. Really.
No, probably
right.
Not.
There's no ground clearance whatsoever, but on the highway, watch out.
This one, the next car, $30,000 to $40,000 range. There's some other cars in this range that might compete with this, but they list the BMW 128i, and that's a great car. Again, decent mileage, 28 on the highway, 18 in the city, not great. Great resale value. They give 63%. Reality is probably closer to 47 at 36 months. Next car, $40,000 to $50,000. I love the car, Infiniti GX Coupe. It is G37 Coupe. It's a great car. It's a great-looking car. It does everything it's supposed to do. It has great features, good gas mileage, and good resale value. Again, they say 62% at 36 months. That number's probably a lot closer to 48, but that's still fun. Cars 50,000 and over, Audi A7 Quattro 3.0. What do you think about that car?
I think it's exciting. I mean, it's impossible to get. They're made of unobtainium.
That's one of the reasons they got great resale value.
Exactly. That's the whole issue with Audi right now. When they're in short supply and high demand, that brings up the resale value. That's basically the overall thing with a lot of vehicles these days. Everything has a better resale value right now because of everything that happened in 08 and 09. When there's a short supply of cars, you're going to have better resale value. But definitely with Audi, and that's their marketing strategy too, right, David?
Yep.
They're not overbuilding. They're not going to have too many cars on their lot. Therefore, the price is higher.
Exactly. You're never going to see a fleet of Audis at the thrifty rental market at the airport. They limit the supply of cars. They keep their resale high, and they maintain their market share that way.
And making that luxury sedan an all-wheel drive vehicle,
yeah,
makes it a better performer, because then if you're in Denver or any of these places with
exactly.
some weather, you can still drive it to work.
Because it's pretty mandatory up there in the Northeast, certainly.
You're an ER physician. You still have to get to work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you're an ER doc, so you can drive that Audi Quattro.
Okay, for the sports car, they list the Mustang. I've got no problem with that. It's got good resale value.
Always has.
I'm going to say right up next to it, the Camaro, though. It's a great car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry for whistling in your ears.
Small crossover Subaru Forester. That's the 2.5 XT Touring. And, again, great resale value and a good car. And as we all learned last week, Consumer Reports said Subaru is building great, great, reliable cars now.
They've made a big comeback.
Well, and they've always been really strong in the Northeast, in the Denver area, and the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're great cars up there. They sell a lot. You go to a Subaru dealership up there, it's like a large Chevrolet dealership here.
Well, again, it's an all-wheel drive vehicle for the most part, so it's going to be primarily sold in those areas where people need the all-wheel drive. But they're starting to get some appeal down here in Texas.
Exactly. Now, their midsize and large crossover, I don't agree completely with the BMW X5. It's a good resale value car. There's a number of other cars that'll service better than that car and maintain resale value?
I guess part of that is just because of the residual value that BMW has set for their leases.
Which
but
is
let me
high.
Tell you, beyond that car, beyond the factory warranty and free maintenance period, is so expensive to keep going.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yep.
I don't know.
Moving right along, we've got a Toyota Sienna of minivan, which I've got no problem with.
No.
Great car, good resale value. And finally, on the wagon, the Toyota Prius 5.2, and I'm not sure about that. I think the resale on that car has more to do with what the price of gasoline is doing than anything else, because that's when people tend to buy Priuses, is when gas goes way up. Mm-hmm. And when it's down, they do not sell well. Just
so today, the Prius is doing well, but yeah, again.
In 2 years, who knows?
Now, do you come across Priuses very often?
Always. Yeah.
All the time?
And it varies. Their pricing varies to us, especially on the new cars, with the price of gasoline. Because when gas goes up, everybody pays more for them. When gas goes down, they sit on the lots.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about the 1 year since the earthquake, meltdown, tsunami, what's happened in that time, what it's meant, and gas prices. Everybody loves to talk about gas prices.
Or doesn't.
Or don't. We're going to talk about it anyway. All that coming up Saturday morning test drive here at 105.3 The Fan.
We're back to this Saturday morning test drive brought to you by AutoFlex Leasing.
All right, Wally Lynn in for Sybil today. She's just finagling around. Spring training.
She's become a world traveler.
Traveling all over the world.
Oh, Sybil.
All this kind of stuff. I think she might be back next week, right?
Yeah, possibly. She'll be back next week.
Okay.
She's so cool.
I love Sybil.
She's hosting her own TV show now.
Is she really?
Yeah. She's got a TV show
on
at 6:30 on Wednesdays on Channel 21.
No way.
Yeah, it's about Dallas and what's going on in
DFW.
The DFW area.
Oh, I'm
going to
help her with that. I got some ideas for it. 877-881-1053 is the number. Fantex 43733. And if you need to reach AutoFlex Leasing, 817 or 972-234-1234.
Got to mention AutoFlex.com, too, because you can go there, build a car, find out what your car's worth, get a Black Book appraisal online.
Apply online.
Yeah, see all our great pre-owned cars all in one place. Big Cap One sale this weekend, so if you're a Capital One customer, you can go to the Capital One site, dial up AutoFlex, and find out you can actually get money back from Capital One for getting a car from AutoFlex.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat.
All right. Let's talk about what's happened in the year since the big tsunami and what it's meant to the auto industry.
You know, it's been crazy. It's a year ago tomorrow. Pardon me for stepping on you.
Why are you laughing?
David and Tammy. You're just funny.
It's a year ago tomorrow, and it doesn't even seem like it's been that long, but it is the largest disaster to ever strike the automotive industry since gasoline went up. They're figuring that it's the Japanese auto industry, the largest seven manufacturers over there, lost $5.5 billion directly as a result of the earthquake, the tsunami, and the related floods in Thailand that hurt everybody's suppliers.
Now, let's say this thing obviously affected a lot of other industries and people in many other ways. This is just the one thing that we could talk about for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
and
know,
it's tremendous how it affected the car business.
It is.
Not only in how it affected the suppliers, but, I mean, it hit home right here. Dealers, people lost jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have cars to sell. They shuttered their doors.
Because you guys were saying that there were just no parts available to make the cars.
Right.
Right.
So people lost jobs here.
Yeah. And in the parts suppliers, I mean, everything just kind of slowed down. It really did make a big difference for those manufacturers. And I'm sorry for just kind of jumping in there.
No, that's perfectly fine.
It's been painful.
It's crazy. At one point in time, you couldn't get a black Ford because the dye for the black paint that Ford uses came from over there.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So
that
they didn't have any black Fords for a while, which is just, it's just part of the story. But one of the main things that came out of this is the manufacturers now understand their supply chain. Before, they thought that their supply chain looked like a big pyramid. They had all these suppliers at the bottom that all funneled up and supplied them. What they found out was it's more diamond shape. You've got like a couple of central suppliers that supply all of these other suppliers that then resell to the manufacturer. Well, when you knock those guys out at the bottom of the diamond, it knocked out everybody because all of their people that they sold to that resold didn't have any material or any supplies to resell. So the chip suppliers were one of the ones that were the most affected, and certainly affected again because so many chips are made in Thailand. So that was what really, really slowed a lot of people down. As a result of this, General Motors is now the largest car company in the world. I'd like to think it's because we're Americans and smart and all that. But the reality is Toyota and Honda were horribly affected by this, and they didn't have any cars to sell. A lot of the lots got pretty well empty. If you don't have cars to sell, and the other thing is GM, Ford, and Chrysler had actually put themselves in a really good position to take advantage of this, not knowing it was coming, but they were building small, more fuel-efficient cars.
It was a fluke situation that happened on the cusp of everything from the economy. First, the fuel, right? I mean, it was what is the right term, when all the perfect storm situation. All these things had happened, right? And I mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I just want to shoot all these little things in there.
No,
it makes
your
mind just explode when you think about all the things that happened with the economy, the gas prices, what put us in the position to have a lower supply of cars, period.
Right.
The Japanese car dealers had stopped ordering as many cars because we had slowed down selling the number of cars we were selling.
So they didn't have a backlog of orders.
Gas had come down.
And so, yeah. And the other thing is, if you wanted a small car, then you couldn't necessarily go get a Honda Civic or a Toyota Corolla. Mm-hmm. You ended up with a Ford Fiesta or a Chevy Cruze.
So how did that affect used car sales when those cars were not available?
It makes them cost a lot more money.
And, supply and demand, simple
that's
economics.
Really, right. That's really where we are now. Used car prices are still up.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in the last 30 days, they've gone up more than they have since May of 2010, when we were in short supply because of all of the above. If you don't build cars now, 3 or 4 years from now, they're not going to be used cars. They're just not going to exist.
If you don't build them and they're not sold, then they're not traded in.
So what happened in 2008 when everything stopped because of the gas price going up, people quit buying cars. People quit buying cars. Manufacturers quit making cars because they got nobody to buy them.
Right.
Now there's a dearth, a lack of pre-owned cars in the market because of what happened in 2008 and also because of what happened in Japan. Toyota's market share is now back up to almost 14%, which is what it was before the disaster. Honda's is about 10%, which again is about what it was before the disaster. And as you know, we talked about it last week, Consumer Reports ranked Toyota. They got the 5 of the top 10 picks for reliability again. So they're back in the game. But they've lost a lot of ground to the domestics, to the big three, Ford, Chrysler, and General Motors. So, and it's going to, they may never get that back. It's hard to know whether they will.
Mm. They'll get it back.
Yeah, maybe.
They will.
But the domestics are building better cars.
True, but I'm sorry. They are motivated. They are good cars. It's a good company. They'll get it back. I'm just saying.
And the other thing that's happening is car sales are growing again. They're looking now at maybe selling 14 million cars this year versus 12.8 million in 2011. That's a huge increase. So, and it's also good for the economy because, folks, in case you hadn't figured it out, you are the economy. If you want the economy to get better, go spend money.
Spend money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's right. What
works.
All right, speaking of spending money, let's talk about the almighty gas prices, which, Waddle, you said they held steady this week?
They held steady. 370.
Well, it's like
I noticed.
374 a gallon.
Yeah, I noticed
downstairs.
Last weekend downstairs it was 374, and it was 374 when I walked in this morning.
So. Yeah, so they've been steady for a week. Actually, the oil prices, the price of crude has actually dropped in the last week. But it takes a long time for that drop to show up, for whatever reason, at the gas station that we're all filling up at.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be filling up at Costco using my Costco discount this weekend.
I think that
I didn't do it on Tuesday.
That's a very wise tip, by the way, to folks that don't know it. If you have a grocery store that has a gas card deal.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Like
Kroger. If you're a member of Costco where they sell gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
you can save more than your membership cost over a year, I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Really? Because
the gasoline's, it's up to 10% a gallon, or 10 cents a gallon less.
Didn't even know Costco had gas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It, not a Costco commercial, just if people need to be aware of and go out and look at those opportunities.
Right. Hey, I want to shout out to Katie. She leased a new Nissan Juke. Hey, Katie. She said, hey, Tammy, I love my Juke. She got a little Juke this past week.
That's great. And she texted in. That's wonderful.
She has leased a lot of cars. Her sister has a Nissan Frontier. She traded in a great little Honda Odyssey. She had a Mini Cooper. That one went back. Now she has a Nissan Juke. Her daughter got a Camaro. She's a good customer. Thank you, Katie.
Okay. So anyway, what we're seeing right now is a result of speculators bidding up the future price of crude.
Mm-hmm.
You're also seeing an increase in demand because it's that time of year. It's getting warmer and people are driving more. Now you've got
spring break.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
People taking trips.
Summertime around the corner, yep. Vacations.
Mm-hmm. You've got all of the bad publicity coming out of the Far East, which means mm-hmm. instability. So that scares everyone. And that drives the price of crude up. So you've got a lot of different factors moving the price of gasoline up. How high will it go? Who knows? We can't tell. No one knows. It'll go higher the longer the speculators can make you believe it'll go higher. Mm-hmm. So when you see these gas could go to $5 a gallon, watch who that's coming from. Because if it's coming from somebody with a stake in the oil business, all they're doing is moving your thinking up. The other thing is we're actually driving less. The more gas goes up, the less we drive, which means demand is down.
Right.
But that doesn't always have a direct effect on the gasoline.
Do you think people are trying to work closer to home these days?
If they're smart.
Find jobs.
I don't think they have close that to choice. Their house. I don't think they have that choice. I think they're thinking twice about whether or not they just run around in their car and, you know, how you do your errands.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you just leave the house, go run one errand at a time. I think you package those things together and do it smart.
You know, we talked last week.
Budget.
Right. We talked last week about mm-hmm. a lot of ways you can save gasoline, and that's one of them.
I think you make your kids walk to the mall.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Probably not.
My parents didn't take me anywhere when I was a kid.
I rode my bike
we
everywhere
rode our bikes.
As a kid. Yeah.
Yes, we walked and rode our bikes everywhere. We didn't.
Yeah.
It had to be a thunderstorm.
That's what's holding gas prices down for my kid at UT. he has two wheels and a bicycle. That's what he's got.
That'll keep right? those gas prices. And it keeps him trim. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. That freshman 15 will stay off of him if he's riding his bike.
So as a direct result, we have seen a little bit of an uptick in the value placed on gas-efficient cars. We have seen really, the sedans have stayed about the same, and we've seen a slight downtick in the large SUV area. Small SUVs and medium-sized SUVs have remained pretty stable for the last week and a half. So we'll see what happens.
They will. I think those will always be strong because of families. I don't think Suburbans and Expedition, you know, the long Expeditions and the Suburbans, those are not going to stay as popular vehicles. Minivans and the midsize SUVs, especially if we can get them to be great with fuel economy, get them up into at least the mid-20s for highway driving, that's going to be the car of the future.
The phone numbers for Autoflex, 817 or 972-234-1234. You can also go to autoflex.com and read the stories that we're talking about today. Our fan text, 43733, phone number 877-881-1053. You want to talk about Obama and tax credits next?
Yeah, let's talk about what he's proposed for people that drive electric cars.
All right, we'll do that next here at 1053 The Fan.
We're back to the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Autoflex Leasing.
This job.
All right, we're back. Tammy.
Tammy.
Be quiet for just a second. Let me drive the ship for just a minute.
Where to go, TP?
Wally Lynn in for Sybil with David and Tammy. It's a Saturday Morning Test Drive. And the phone number, 877-881-1053, Fantex 43733. And we're going to talk about bad karma here for just a minute, and we'll get into Obama. So take it away and tell us where this bad karma thing is coming from out of Detroit.
Well, it's the Fisker karma, and it's actually not coming out of Detroit. It's coming out of Europe. They make them in Europe. I think we probably have given them quite a bit of money to do it. But the Fisker karma is a $100,000 luxury electric car. And it's got Leonardo DiCaprio's got one. Justin Bieber just got one for his birthday. And they sent one to Consumer Reports so that they could test it and rate the car. Unfortunately, it ran for a total of 180 miles. And then it died. And then they couldn't figure out how to get it started again. So they put it on a truck and they sent it back to Fisker.
Okay, let me ask this question. Is there really an electric car that's worth $100,000? Is that a good buy?
If you'll pay $100,000 for it, there is. I mean, as simple as that. It's like anything else. It's worth whatever anybody will pay for it. You know, the electric car business, it's a strange business because when you talk to people in the industry that manufacture, they say that they lose money on every one that they build, that if it were not for the government tax money that's poured into the system, that they couldn't build them. I mean, our government has spent $3 billion to develop an electric car by giving the money to battery suppliers, to General Motors, to Ford, lots of money from the Department of Energy.
There's still a stigma about electric cars, though, right?
Well, I don't know.
Range anxiety.
Right now, President Obama has suggested that we raise the allowance for people that buy alternative fuel vehicles, which would be the
tax
Volt
credit
or the Volt or the Leaf. That would be two good examples. Or the Fisker. Raise that to $10,000.
From $7,500 to $10,000.
Exactly, yeah. So
that's what the rich people that can afford a $100,000 car need is a little bit more of a break.
The thing to remember is the average person that buys an electric car has an income of $170,000 a year. That's the average.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because they're expensive vehicles. They're $40,000, 30 to $40,000. So anyway, he has proposed that we raise that from $7,500 to $10,000, which I really have a problem with.
Just so you know, we're on the radio, but imagine me holding my finger up to my head like a gun.
Okay, that's enough.
It's like makes no sense.
Now, here's the other thing. There are natural gas-powered vehicles out there that are good alternatives because there's tons of natural gas. It's not quite as convenient as gasoline. You have to have a bigger tank and a lot of other things. But there's a couple of manufacturers that are building. Ford Ram just announced a 3/4-ton natural gas production truck. They're going to turn them out.
There you go.
They've got a couple of big gas tanks that sit in the front of the bed. Ford is building natural gas cars. Chevrolet is building natural gas pickups now. So that's an alternative. The thing about electricity is, number one, the battery thing doesn't work well. They don't scale well. So the bigger the vehicle, the battery has to be even bigger, which means that the weight becomes an issue.
Yeah. Don't they have like 3 or 4 or 5 batteries in the trunk?
Well,
something like that.
What they've done is they've got a single large battery area underneath the car. There's no more tunnel. It goes where the tunnel was and the floor is. And it basically goes under the car. And that's where the battery is set. But they have to be cooled and they have to be heated because they have to operate within a very small temperature range in order to maintain maximum charge. And then every time you turn on the air conditioner or roll down a window, you're using more of the power that you would use to drive the car.
Does that mean that it's going to be a bigger issue in certain climate?
Oh, yeah. In the cold, it doesn't work as well. So they're not necessarily cold car. We've poured a lot of money into a technology that sounds really good, but it's not terribly practical at this time.
I mean,
maybe 20, 30 years from now, we'll have charging stations everywhere and stuff. But I don't know. I mean, and if we're doing it to have clean energy, well, most of the electricity comes from gas-powered plants, which are certainly not clean. Okay. Anyway, President Obama has also offered that we should spend $1 billion in 15 cities to set up charging stations. But that's going to need congressional approval. And if you ask Fred Upton, who is the chairman of the House Energy Commerce Committee, he's probably not going to bite off on that because he just tried to get an energy loan for Carbon Motors to build diesel police cars, which would save a lot of money.
Diesel police cars?
Yeah, because they go a lot further on less fuel.
Right.
So But the DOE won't give them a loan. In fact, they flat turned them down. Department of Energy turned them down, possibly because Chairman Upton was the one that's heading up the Solyndra investigation on the almost $500 million that we gave, our government gave, to Solyndra Corporation to build solar panels. And then they declared bankruptcy after they got the money. Bright Automotive, which is another alternative fuel vehicle, applied, unfortunately, in 2008 and right before the Solyndra thing broke, to the Department of Energy for a loan to build electric vehicles. And they have been, he said, well, they've not been turned down. They just keep sending them questionnaires. And finally, the chairman of Bright Energy said, we call uncle. We give up. You've made it too difficult to get a loan. We've been trying since 08, and we're not gonna try anymore. If you look at the history of what we've done with our DOE loans, Department of Energy loans, Aptera Motors received DOE money. They closed in 2011. The Next Auto Works closed San Diego 2011. After failing to receive $320 million in government loans. Mm-hmm. Green Vehicles, they'd received $500,000. They've closed. Solyndra, as we know, $500 million. They've closed. Beacon Power, $43 million. They've closed. Interdell, $118 million. They made batteries. They've closed. And SunPower, which has got $1.2 billion from the DOE, is currently it owes more than it's worth. So it doesn't look like they're going to be able to continue in business.
Wow.
Okay, I'm thoroughly depressed.
That's a lot of closings.
It is, and it's a lot of money spent on a project that is probably 10 to 20 years too soon. And, again, everyone in the business says hydrogen fuel cells are probably the way to go because it's a much more – there's no infrastructure to distribute it, but we're not rushing into it and we're not spending billions on it. And it's plentiful, and we already have manufacturing in place to make hydrogen, and it's the most abundant element on Earth. Toyota has announced that they want to build tens of thousands of hydrogen fuel cell cars by the 2020s. That is 8 years away.
There you go. I just told you they were going to come back.
Yeah, they're sort of ahead of the game. They understand that electric is really cool, and it's a nice idea, but it's not practical right now.
Buy stock in Toyota.
Hydrogen fuel cell is a practical alternative that we're not spending a lot of money on, but mm-hmm. other people are.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk about
anything but this.
We're going to talk about anything but that. We're going to talk about this new Ford reality show that's coming up, okay? And we're also going to talk about this judge who bans a teenager from driving ever again. And we'll talk about that next here at 105.3 The Fan.
This is the Saturday Morning Test Drive, brought to you by Auto Flex Leasing.
All right, it's 105.3 The Fan, Saturday Morning Test Drive. David, Tammy, Wally in for Sybil today. She'll be back next week. And Ford is stepping into the reality show business. How about this?
This is just crazy because they're going to base a reality show on the Ford Escape. It's going to be called Escape Routes. Now, a couple of things. It is being produced by the same guy that does The Amazing Race.
Really?
And it's going to be about teams of drivers driving through cities. The interesting thing is, of course, it's going to feature escapes, Ford Escapes. And if you want, you can go online and you can actually become part of the adventure online.
By doing what?
Well, I don't know. It's not specific. They haven't been specific about that, but they do say that online participants can actually affect the outcome, which means everyone's empowered, which everyone likes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're shooting.
I bet it's not a reality show. I bet it's just all a video.
Well, I don't
know.
That's
what I think.
We'll see. They're going to shoot it in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Las Vegas, New York, Miami, and Atlanta.
It's one big fat commercial is what it is.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Most of the reality shows shoot well in advance, and then they play them several months later. This show is going to shoot 1 week in advance. So you'll be able to participate online, and then the next week, watch what happens.
It's a reality commercial.
It's sort of a reality commercial. Mm-hmm. Winners, they get $100,000 in cash, and each two-team member gets a new escape. And one watcher will receive an Escape also. Now, they've gotten some real talent behind this thing. They've Emmy award-winning producers, directors, and things. So it's a serious deal. And let's see what happens. It's certainly the first of a new kind of thing. And speaking of Ford...
If any of our listeners get involved and do it, I would love for you guys to text in and tell us how you managed to affect this new Ford Reality commercial.
Yeah.
And speaking of, if you have a Ford Touch system or a Lincoln MyTouch system, Ford... on Thursday, started mailing out USB drives. There's 300,000 customers that are going to get them. You can plug it into your USB port in your dashboard, and it will correct the problems that you've had with your MyTouch or your MyLincoln system.
I haven't received mine yet.
Yeah, and it takes about an hour to do. And the first half hour, you can do whatever you want to in the car. You can adjust the temperature and the radio and whatever. Mm-hmm. The last half hour, it's going to sort of freeze your dashboard up, but it's going to take an hour to finish,
but
and it's supposed
to fix
everything.
But we're already accustomed to that.
Tony and Frisco, you're on 105.3 The Fan. Hi,
hey,
Tony.
Guys. Morning.
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 Hey, I got a comment about that show with the Ford.
Oh, good.
About, well, they did a show last year, and it was Jerry Bruckheimer, the guy that does Survivor, and it was called Expedition, and they showcased the new Expedition throughout the whole entire show, and they had to do, you know, they went to different different continents and whatnot, and you know, it was basically an Amazing Race is what it was, but that was last year they did it, and that's how they showcased the new.
Was it good?
Yeah, actually, it wasn't bad.
Was it interactive for the online people? Did you get to actually affect the outcome or something?
No, you didn't. It was they all partnered up. There were teams of three, and you had 13 teams. And the way they got around was in the new Ford, and they showcased, you know, it's got this, it's got that. And then everyone, I guess the winners won Ford at the end of it. But it was basically the same thing, it sounds like.
So this is like a 2.0, so now that they got some interactive participation. Well, thanks.
Cool.
We appreciate it, Tony. Thank you very much.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
See ya. Okay, now, if you haven't paid for your car lately, if you're behind a few payments, you probably got some big problems coming, because there was a lawsuit that for the last 3 years have prevented repoers from using a license plate recognition system that they can put a camera on the front of a repoer's car, and he can review 10,000 license plates a day as he drives around. And if your license plate has been listed as out for repossession, they'll grab your car in a heartbeat.
Boom.
It doesn't matter who the bank is. It doesn't matter who the lender is. It
goes on a list.
It just goes on a list, and the repoers now have got rights to use the repossession system. The lawsuit has been cleared up, and they're going to be out there picking those cars up.
So guys drive around that are repo men.
Yeah, they have a special.
Right.
There's
and they
a
have
new
a special
there's
device.
A recognition. Yeah, it's kind of a little eye, a camera eye, and they recognize these numbers. It's all digital and blah. You know, reads it into a computer and
y'all
boom.
Have a repo,
that thing's out for.
You gotta have a repo man on the show. That'd be a fascinating topic.
No, they already have reality TV shows for. We don't want that.
Okay.
We feel that's not fun to get 30 days behind on your car payment because somebody's sick in your family. I mean, we understand bad things happen to people. No, that's not fun.
No.
No, we're not going
to. Okay, we've got a couple of fan textures I'd sure like to get to.
Okay.
Even if we had tax incentives for those vehicles, who can afford them? They cost too much money.
Right.
I bought a Ford Focus in 2008. I'm still paying for it, but it beats the $500 a month F-150 I had with a $450 a month gas bill. Amen.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hi, Tammy. Love my Juke. We covered that one. Just quit my job. I was driving 100 because of gas. I was driving 120 miles a day.
Boy, that's a lot. That's a lot of mileage.
Yeah. And then finally, what's your thought on the Tesla S? I think it's an electric car that is actually not in production yet. The S is going to be their four-door sedan. It's going to be slightly more affordable than the sports car, and I have no thoughts on it. I've not seen one, driven one. Don't know anyone that has.
I just don't feel good about an all-electric vehicle. Period. I think the anxiety situation is a problem, and I think hydrogen fuel cell is the future, and maybe the natural gas.
Natural gas may be a nice bridge vehicle.
But I don't think a pure electric vehicle is the answer.
Natural gas cars can run on gasoline, too. You can put either one in the tank, and they'll run. So at least it gives you the opportunity.
And I think that, I don't know, private industry, I think investors are the ones that are supposed to be trying to get this stuff going, not our government. But
well, and who would buy, I mean, if they're paying you $10,000 to buy a car, does that mean that it's widely accepted?
Oh, and these tax credits were supposed to be available, just so you know, for the first 200,000 of these cars sold.
Mm-hmm.
And they've only sold like 8,800, so.
Yeah.
Y'all hurry, because there's only like 192,000 more that are going to get the tax break.
Okay. One recall note here, by the way. If you've got a Tacoma truck and it was built between 05 and 09, it's been recalled. There's 681,000 cars and trucks.
What now?
That are being recalled. Tacoma pickups and Camry cars and Venza crossovers, you'll be notified by Toyota. It's nothing that's a severe safety-related kind of a recall. It's just some stuff they want to get fixed on those cars.
There's always a little something you got. Nobody has to freak out over a recall. There's always something that can be improved, and that's why they do it.
That's why they do it.
All right, we got to get to this story because we're almost out of time. Because there's a 17-year-old kid named Lyle Topa, and Lyle has been told by a judge, "You ain't driving anymore.
Ever."
Think about the prospects of spending the rest of your life sitting in the passenger seat or in the back seat of a cab or thumbing or pedaling your way around, because this judge took his ability to drive away forever.
For life.
The judge says, "I've had it. The time has come for a change in attitude toward our young people driving." So they have banned, this judge banned Lyle Topa from driving for life. Now, let's guess why. Lyle was racing another car when they crashed, and the accident left his three teenage passengers seriously injured. Hmm. No one died. They all got hurt really bad.
And Topa had several, that means more than one, prior infractions. Mm-hmm. So Topa doesn't learn very easily. And well, no, the judge's name is not Tammy Pickard.
And now he is going to be using Pat and Ben
to get around.
What
Pat
is Pat?
Your feet and bend your knees.
There
Pat your feet
you
and bend your knees. Pat your feet and bend your knees. That's how you're going to get around, Lyle.
Anyway, in case you go in front of Judge Gugliotta in Rhode Island, you Gugliotta. Better know.
You better be careful.
He is a hanging judge.
That's right.
Yes, he is.
I'm all with you, Gugliotta.
I would have half expected that would come out of Chicago instead of Rhode Island, of all places. But, you know.
They don't mess around up there in Rhode Island.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, a reminder that you can read all these stories at autoflex.com.
On the Facebook page.
And you can get a great deal, whether you want to lease a car or purchase a car or lease a pre-owned car. You can call AutoFlex. We'll take good care of you.
And you're wide open today, open on Saturday.
Yes, we are.
Right? And the number to call, if you want to go over there and see some of these fine folks,
is either 817 or 972-234-1234. If you want to start your whole experience online, go to AutoFlex.com. We have a new website. If you have a smartphone, you can do almost anything on your smartphone that you can do on the website now, because we have a special smartphone site. You don't need an app. You can go right on there. You can get a Black Book appraisal on your car.
How
you can apply for a car online. Just type in autoflex.com on your smartphone.
Boom.
And you go right to the app. And it's very easy to use, and you can move through it quickly. You can even watch our inventory, see movies of the cars.
Always a pleasure, folks. Enjoy filling in for Sybil anytime.
Sorry to cut you off there, Walt.
That's all right. We'll see you next week right here on the Saturday Morning Test Drive. Get down the stairs. To the left of me.